Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study. We are studying at Roland Springs Baptist Church. And we have been studying now already 8 lessons in the study of the book of Ephesians written by Paul, the apostle. And so today we will be on lesson number 9, and this will include Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through chapter 6, verse 9. So we will begin our study today in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you praising you and thanking you, Father, for this opportunity to study your word, to know you more. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit will lead and direct our minds, Father, that you may be glorified by the studying of your word, and help us to not only hear it, but to live it out among those in a dark world that do not know Jesus. And we praise you and give you thanks. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Okay, looking at what we have learned in our previous study, we know that our study included 2 different sections or segments. And we saw that chapter 1 through 3 taught us why that we are able to walk in a way that's pleasing to the Father. And then chapters 4 through 6 told us about what to do to live worthy of our calling. We know that Paul started this book to the Ephesians, telling them of the blessings and the riches that they have in Christ Jesus. And that includes all believers today, us. So, what are some of the things that we learned from the first part of this letter from Paul about walk in chapters 4 and 5? He said to walk no longer just as Gentiles walk. How did they walk before? They walked after gods, idols, and not after God the Father. And then he said, don't walk any longer after this, but walk according to the word of God, according to his will. And he said, next, walk in love as Christ loved you. And we know that what he is referring to is that Christ gave himself as a sacrifice to bring us to the Father. And that showed the love that he had. And Paul is saying that we too, as believers, should walk in the love that Christ had for us, to be willing to give our lives for others and not for ourselves. And then he said to walk as children of light. So how can we walk then as children of light? What is light? And we have studied in other scriptures that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So if we are walking as children of light, we're walking because Jesus Christ is our light, and we're no longer walking in ourselves, but we're walking in Christ Jesus. So now let's go to our study today. In Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at verses 15 through 21. starting with 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So what is he saying then in this letter to the Ephesians and of course to us today? He said, how are you to walk circumspectly? So that word means carefully. Be careful how you walk, not as fools, but as wise. And by doing this, you are redeeming the time because you're living in a time of evil, a time of sin. So he also says, do not be unwise, but understand the will of God. So when you look at the will of God, you see here that that is the key thing that Paul is saying, to be wise and to be walking where you should walk as a Christian. You're to walk as the Lord's will. So how are we to walk according to his will? What are some things that we learned in chapter 1, verses 1 through 11? I'll go through these, and you can go back and read this in chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. First of all, Paul said that he was an apostle according to God's will. God had called him. He wasn't an apostle according to what he wanted to do, but that was the will of God. And also, we learned in that chapter 1, that God's will is from kind intentions. His will is that we as believers have kindness toward one another. And then we also learned that God works all things after the counsel of his will, to his glory. All that God in Christ did for us was in his will. It was God's will that Christ come to this earth, that he was born of a Virgin Mary, and that he walked this earth and went all the way to the cross and died for our sins. And God raised him the third day. Now that was God's will. So let's look now at verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Okay, let's see what these scriptures say. There's a contrast in this. In verse 18, he said, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but filled with the Spirit. So, dissipation means debauchery or contrast with the filling of the Spirit. He said, don't be unwise and be caught up in the things that are contrary to being filled with the Spirit. And then filled means to fill up, to cause to abound to finish or supply, literally. So the Gentiles surrounding the believers were still living in dissipation. That means those that had not yet received and believed upon the word of the Lord. So if one has become a believer and is filled with the Spirit of God, then we as believers walk careful. We're particular. We're wanting to do God's will. And we want to be wise and not foolish, wasting our time or our resources. And so, therefore, we should be filled continuously with the Spirit, staying in the Word, in prayer, that we would be able to walk then according to God's will. So, whenever we are filled with the Spirit, we have a communion with God and with others, and we speak to others in God's will, kindness and love, and singing and praising Him through songs and giving thanks to Him as we live our lives. Now, let's look at a few scripture that teaches us about the Spirit. I'm going to read to you Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. Galatians 5, 22, 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not be conceited, provoking one another, but or envying one another. So what Paul is saying in these verses to the Galatians, that we have received through Christ in our salvation the fruit of the Spirit. And he named all of the things that we received: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And because we have these things living in us, the law doesn't have control over us. And we have been crucified with Christ through his flesh. And that way we can overcome the desires and the passions of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, he says, if we live in it, let us walk in it, and let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Don't get built up in yourself and feel like that you are someone better than someone else. And don't provoke your fellow brother. Don't envy one another. So now then, let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Acts 2, verses 2 through 4. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each other, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We know that this is a scripture that, as God had instructed the disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait on the Spirit, This is when the Spirit, a Holy Spirit, came. And it says there was a sound from heaven and a mighty rushing wind. And the whole house was filled. And it said there were many among them that had different tongues. But at that time they were filled with the Spirit and they all spoke and understood one another. And they began to speak that they all could understand because they were filled with God's Holy Spirit. And as we as believers come to believe upon the Lord Jesus, we too are filled with His Spirit. And you know, we go back and look at John as he wrote about Jesus. John the disciple, he spoke in the third chapter of John about a man called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a very rich, important man and part of the Sanhedrin court. And he was curious about knowing Jesus, and he met him one night. He didn't want to meet him in the daytime because he didn't want these Pharisees and Sadducees to know that he was meeting with him. So he met him one night, and he expressed to him, you know, I've heard these things about you. And he wanted to know about him. He wanted to know about salvation. And Jesus knew what was in his heart. And so he told him, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And of course, the conversation went on, and Nicodemus didn't understand how that he could be born again. But Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit. And that's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he explained to Nicodemus that the Holy Spirit was like the wind. You don't know where it comes from. And you don't know where it goes. And the Holy Spirit, when it comes upon a believer, then we know that it dwells within us and we are sealed and we have salvation and everlasting life. So that's what we learn then about the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he spoke to them, and he said, rulers of the people and the elders of Israel. So when they had prayed, where they were assembled together was shaken, and the scripture says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And then we learn in Acts chapter 9, verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus has appeared to you on the road as you came. He has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we know that we are filled with the Holy Spirit whenever Christ, we become believers in Christ. And this was back whenever Ananias, remember, laid his hands on Paul. And so let's go forward now and look at some scripture in Luke. It says, for he, this is Luke 1, verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So this is the scripture, the prophecy. This is what was told, and Luke wrote down, and he explained that the Spirit, he said, he will be also filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And so we know that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit. We know that Christ was filled. Now look at Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is scripture speaking to us, telling us that Elizabeth, whenever Mary, the cousin of Elizabeth, went to visit her, and when they met, then Mary was already pregnant with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, and Elizabeth was pregnant with John. And as they met for the first time, Elizabeth spoke and said that her babe, John the Baptist, leaped within her womb, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'll read one more in Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Now, his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, and we know this is, Zacharias was the father of John the Baptist, and whenever he was told that his wife Elizabeth was to have a babe in her old age, he didn't believe it, and because he didn't believe it, the Lord caused him not to speak until the babe was born. And then whenever the babe was born, the Holy Spirit had told Zacharias that child would be named John. And so his mouth was open, and he was filled with the Spirit, and he began to speak once more and prophesied. Now then, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 33, so that we can complete our study in chapter 5. And we'll see in these verses, Paul brings a picture of how, as we believers, wives and husbands, and as children, and as servants, all should live. So I'll read quickly then Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So here, Paul is saying that as wives, according to the will of God and for his purpose, they are to submit to the husband. And he gives an example. He said the husband is head of the wife, just as Christ is head of the church. So she is to submit herself, just as the body of Christ, the church, submits to Christ himself. And so the wives are to submit to their own husbands in everything. So what does he say now in verse 25 to the husbands? He said, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blames. So, this is what he is saying to the wives, to the husbands, that they're to love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He's saying that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, and that he might present her to himself a glorious church. So God sent his son, and God became head over the church. And the church is who? It's made up of all believers. And so he is saying here that Christ himself, by the word, washing of water, by the word, he presented himself to the church without spot. He was perfect. And that's why that he could go to the cross and give his self and his blood for our sins. And then he goes on in verse 28 and he says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and his bones. And for this reason, a man should leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So he's saying basically to the husbands that they should love their wife just as they would love them on their own bodies, their own selves, because Christ loved each of us as believers, the church, as himself, because he gave his life, he gave his blood that we might be saved and forgiven of our sins. So Paul ends that by saying to the husbands, love your wife just as yourself. And then he says to the wife, let the wife see that she respects her husband. So now we look at chapter 6, verse 1 through 9. And he's speaking in this chapter, in this part of the scripture, to the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So, what is he saying now? He's saying to the children that it's in the law, it's in the commandments, that you're to obey your parents in the Lord. And by honoring your father and your mother, you're given a promise. And that is the only commandment of the Ten Commandments with a promise. And that promise was that obeying the parent, that they might have a long life on the earth. And then he tells the fathers not to provoke their children to wrath, to bring them up in the right training and admonition of the Lord. And next he goes to the bondservants, and he speaks to the bondservants. And let me read chapter 6, verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service or men's pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. So what is he saying to the bondservants? He's saying you're to be obedient to your master according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity, just as Christ, as you were doing it to Christ, and not just as eye service or men pleasers, but as a bondservant of Christ. And this is doing the will of God from the very heart. And you're to do this to please the Lord, not pleasing yourself or not pleasing men or anyone, but pleasing the Lord Jesus, knowing that there's a reward for being pleasing to the Lord Jesus. There's always a reward when we please him. And then he says in verse 9 of chapter 6, and you masters do the same thing to them, to the servants, giving up threatenings, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So he's saying now that these bondservants, he's speaking to their masters, and he is saying to them that they're to do good things also to their servants, not threatening them or not doing things that are displeasing, because you know, he reminds them, these masters, that they also have a master in heaven who is God Almighty and the Lord. And there's no partiality. He's saying that God doesn't have partiality between the master and the servant. In God's heart, all are equal. They all are created in God's image. Now, I want to close with just a little scripture here. Deuteronomy, going back into the Old Testament, let's see what was prophesied and what was commanded in the Old Testament. Reading Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Starting with verse 1 of Deuteronomy 6. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and your gates. So, In these verses, the love of God, he said to love him was to be obedient, to listen to his word, and to teach his commandments. And they were to do this all the time to their children. And also, we won't go to Proverbs, but Proverbs speaks of discipline and instruction in God's word for raising children. And verses 5 through 9 are about slaves and about masters. And, of course, we learn that slaves were to be obedient to their master, and the masters were to be obedient, were to be good to the slaves and treat them with kindness and justice. So let's look at Jesus' example as we close our study today. And we want to look at Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man, Jesus himself, did not come to be saved, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So we know that Jesus himself was a servant to all while he was here. And the scripture makes it plain that he wasn't here to be served, but he was here to serve. And he served by giving his life a ransom for all, for you and I, and for whosoever will believe. Then I want to close this with 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22-25. Verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We see in those first verses that Jesus himself committed no sin, and he didn't revile in turn. There was no deceit in his mouth. And we see that when he suffered, he didn't threaten or commit himself to him, to God who judges. But he himself bore our sins. He took all of our sins in his own body when he went to the cross. That we, if we believe in him, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that we too might live and have righteousness. And we are healed by his stripes. So we were all sheep that went astray. But through Christ, we return to the shepherd. He is the overseer of our souls. He is the one that gives life. I am the way, the truth, and life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. That's the words of Jesus. And we know that it's through him and by him and in him that we have eternal life, that we have salvation. So let us close now. We in prayer. Father, we can't find the words to express thanksgiving, the gratitude that we have that you came to this earth You suffered. You took the stripes for us. You took all the beatings, all the slander. Everything was poured out upon you. You did it for us. Father, that Jesus did it for us that we might be brought back to you. And through his suffering, he paid for our debts by the blood from his own body that was righteous without sin. Father, you had to turn your back on him because he took all the sins of the world upon himself, and you couldn't look upon sin. We just can't begin to praise you and give you honor and glory for what he did for us. And I just pray that your word, your Holy Spirit, will speak to my heart and to the heart of each one that hears your word, that we will humble ourselves, we will repent, we will call out to you and give you praise and honor and glory. For only you deserve, Father, to be praised. And we love you and thank you, and we ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Amen.